We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of the KCSN Draft Show, getting Chiefs Kingdom ready for the 2023 NFL Draft. Hosted right here in Kansas City with the best analysis, interviews, and content you can find to stay up to date and in the know. With that said, let's begin the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Indianapolis in the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine. I'm BJ Kissel, joined by a special guest right now, an NFL Network analytics expert, Cynthia Freeland. Cynthia, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here. Congratulations on all your success. This is awesome.
Thank you.
18 shows a week. Do you sleep?
No, we have a lot. At Chiefs Kingdom, you can't feed the appetite enough, and it helps that they're very good.
I get it.
That's been a good thing. But you're just trying to... different shows, different styles of shows, trying to bring different perspectives, former players, former insiders, analysts, film breakdowns, the whole deal.
I love everything about that. I'm going to have to watch the film breakdowns too. I love that.
Yeah. Matt Castle, that guy, he comes on.
Oh, him? Heard of him. Little star called Matt Castle.
He comes on with Matt Hamilton. If you're familiar with Matt Hamilton, former Good Morning Football producer.
They do
a show together breaking down the Chiefs offense.
I love that.
And then Derek Johnson, all-time leading tackler, Chiefs history, comes on, breaks down the defense. Cracks out Mike
That's
DeVito.
Amazing.
It's cool. Thank you.
You know, my mom is a massive Chiefs fan.
I did not know this.
It's so weird because I'm from Michigan and she met Patrick Mahomes once and she was sold. She's like obsessed with him. She's like, did you know he had a daughter now too? Do you know he has a son now too? Like, you're like, okay, mom. I'm like, stop stalking the man. She's like, he puts it on his Instagram. It's not my fault. She's like, I just look at it.
Sounds like my sister. She's always like, did you see this? Like, you posted like 8 minutes ago. Like, no, I'm not paying any attention. I'm sorry. Why do I have to look at it when you're going to call and tell me 10 minutes later? I don't need to be the one to look at it. But appreciate you for joining us. I always enjoy chatting with you over the years. We've been able to sit down at these events and do these things. And I'm curious for your position. Obviously, you're the first analytics expert at NFL Network. Yeah. You've been doing it. When did you start with this particular position?
This was my seventh season.
Okay. So it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
How have you seen just the analytics side of things, both on the field and like the practical applications of coaches doing that? And then also just the media awareness and the way that people talk about these types of things. How have you seen it progress since you first started?
Well, now we have to hear that annoying in-game, like, the analytics say to go for it. Like, that drives me bananas because it's not always true or right. But I digress. But the reality is we've seen it explode from the standpoint of like the technology that enables people to use data faster. That's really been impactful for teams because you're not really doing anything different. You're just doing more of it and able to use it faster. So it's been great. And I think the storytelling behind it, people have become more and more attuned to what, like, we talk about next gen stats. And at first, the next gen stats just felt like they were speed. Like, this guy's reaching top speed. And we're like, well, okay, but do we really even want him to? Cause like, that's like a corner and he shouldn't be running. Anyways, but then it's now like going to things like, you know, burst, right? Like how fast someone gets off the line when you're trying to, you know, like Chris Jones is awesome burst, right? So it's things like that. So it's sort of like quantifying, like, how good is someone or what does this mean in the context of wins and losses, which is what really matters.
Yeah. I think people, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because obviously I'm playing in your space, but like it just seems when it comes to analytics that people want everything to be black and white. Like this is this is the number, this is the decision you make, as opposed to it being another tool in the toolbox for coaches to be able to understand the different things that are going on.
Listen, everyone wants everything to be fast and easy. Like I want to go on a diet and lose 10 pounds tomorrow. I don't want to have to do the hard work of like working out and eating right. Right. So we all want things so fast. We're so impatient. Look at all the things we do in a day. Like, do you want anything that takes a long time? No. But the reality is if you could make yourself have 10% better decisions, like if there's 70 plays in a football game, that's 7 plays. Think about how many games have come down to 7 plays, like all of them. So, or many of them at least. Right. So the truth is if you can make the quality of those 7 plays better, then you've done a good job. And it's just unsatisfying because we all want something to be now and fast and black or white, but we want that for everything. Right. So it's finding comfort in the discomfort and playing the long game. And understanding that sometimes you could have this process and the outcome isn't what it still stinks, but your process was actually good. So it's all about figuring out like your comfort level with risk and how you understand risk tolerance for it, because you just got to stay patient. It stinks. Yeah. It stinks. You just got to keep eating your salad and going to the gym and you will lose the 10 pounds. Right. So
when you see how far it's come since you started, you said like 7 years ago, what do you think 7 years from now, the analytics world is going to look like, again, both on the field and the applications for the coaching staff. And obviously my background with the Chiefs, I got to know Mike Frazier when I was there, and a lot of these guys behind the scenes that do phenomenal work to get in coaches' ear and giving me information. But what do you see it looking like 7 years from now, both from broadcast, just content consumption, just all of those applications where fans are consuming and absorbing this information that it's not that it's new, but it's being delivered in a new way.
Yeah. So, two things. The first, I think some of the biggest advancements will be in like the stuff that like the sports performance areas, because like there's still so many ways where like areas to go. And even though we're pretty advanced with like even sleep and all that stuff, like there's just so many, like, which is great. We want the best players to stay healthy and not get hurt. Like, absolutely. I love all of that. I think you'll start to see more of the broadcast. I hope like, so I'll do my shameless pitch. Like I really want to do in game, like the way like a Dean Blandino or a Mike Pereira comes into a game. I want to say like, hey, the reason that, or like the probabilities here, but just so we're clear, it's never like, all or nothing. It's always like, you know, hey, so Patrick was just been pressured on the past 4 dropbacks. One resulted in a completion for a first down, but now we're at 3rd and 17 and we're going to have to like, the reason you're seeing like them only try to, you know, go for 10 yards, even though they have 17 to go, is because they're going to take the 4th, whatever. Like, it's like, so like, it's why, well, it's because they've been showing him zone defense. So he's just giving a shorter pass to Jarek, you know, whatever, like I'm making something up, but right. Like it's just a little bit more of the why, because the more, football is a complicated sport, even for people who know it well. And the more context you can shed onto why something is happening, the more interested people get in the game, right? Like why we all want to, like, how many times have you been like, why? Right. So if you can just give like a little bit of why, I think that's where it will eventually go.
I find myself going to like the 4th down bot, like account, and just being like, should they do this? Should they not do this? Yeah. And I know that's just one piece,
but that's
of,
fun. But what, like, it's, it is what it is, right? It's fun. And, and that's, it's good too, but, and it's also like the history of things, like, you know, like in general, 4th downs work from this yardage 20% of the time. That's not a high probability outcome, but it's not always the, like, that's not always true. Like for the Colts, they were really good at it in weird situations because they had the play ready for it and they practice it, and it's not weird for their players. They're not, you know, like they have more than 3 4th down plays. So they're going like, so it's just, it's normalizing something that isn't normal for every team.
And I haven't really thought through it, just while we're having the conversation, the applications I would love to see in like 7 years. We know the players wearing the sensors that say how hard they're working, that they use them on the sideline to make decisions, guys coming in, coming out. I would love for that to be available in real time, to know what the heart rate is of guys. And to,
it's hard because that's like HIPAA stuff. You know what I mean? Like, but I think it's, I would love to know Patrick Mahomes' heart rate, like in the Super Bowl throughout the entire thing. Like, I feel like it doesn't change.
Right.
Like, I just don't feel like.
That's why I was going with it. Yeah, exactly. You're going to see everybody else is just spiking and his just calm.
And his just like, what are we doing? It's Tuesday afternoon. Like, it's the same. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I think that'd be awesome to, but I feel, I also feel like you already know that about, you know what I mean? Like, you already know, like, he's not sweating this. Like, yeah. Truly.
let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs and just obviously the 2022 season from your perspective.
Yep.
What was the most surprising thing about the way that it played out? Obviously for us and our audience, we're very happy with the way that everything played out.
Yeah.
But for you and watching, just what was the most interesting, intriguing storyline that you followed throughout the year and then even through the playoffs?
Well, look, I think beginning of last season, everyone was like, no, Tyreek Hill's gone. The whole thing's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Like, it was interesting to see how far along Patrick has come in reading defenses and adjusting to what defenses give him, because we already knew he was like a, you know, he's up there, GOAT level talent. Like, I'm happy to say, like, I'm already, you know, I he's not Tom Brady yet, but like, we'll be having that discussion soon, right? Like, so like, we already knew he was there. The reality now is like, well, how many of these has he got in him? Right. And you saw this year felt a lot of people, I guess, thought it was like rebuilding year. In general, I think the AFC is super hard. So winning the AFC is like, I mean, all of those teams are really good. And the fact that like you get into the playoffs, like the luck of the draw for some of it, truly, like that's a hard conference. NFC was much easier this season. So like what really was surprising and effective was how Patrick became the coach, and not just, you know, no shade to anyone who was orchestrating the offense, but you really saw him take not just like this, like athletic step forward. He's because we already knew he was the beast there, but like it was really, he was a coach this year. You know, you saw a lot of changes. You saw like a lot of like, he was the coach. And by the way, I really liked that they had fun too. Sounds stupid, but like we get lost in all this. Like you see this, like, you know, like the Travis Kelce, like what tornado, whatever thing they did before, like they're having fun still. And like in these high pressure situations, it was nice to see that being remembered, because it's a long season and it got to be very heavy. And it was nice to see that levity.
Yeah, it was. It's the fun side of Andy Reid coming out, and you want to see why guys love to play for him. Not just they do the goofy plays, but they have a culture that allows them to go and practice these goofy plays and be willing to come out there. And there's been reports coming out about whose idea it was and when it all came out. And like, it's just, he lets them show their personalities. He lets them have fun. They're playing a kid's game for the most part.
Exactly. And,
it's fun to watch.
It was good to see that strategy work though. You know, because that's not like,
that's true. If it doesn't work
for a younger coach, it could be problematic.
It could be a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the draft and obviously what we're all here for with the scouting combine here in Indy. Who are the players that have stood out to you or that you're most intrigued to follow throughout this pre-draft process?
You know, it's interesting because obviously quarterbacks every year, blah, 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 blah. Great. But there's a lot of different flavors of quarterbacks. I think it's going to be like, which one do you like? And there'll be camps, but there's no one that you're like, holy smokes, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think the value of cornerback this season, there's a lot of good tight ends in this draft too. Okay. Still not that exciting. I mean, like, unless you're going to become Travis Kelce, then I like, whatever, but that is what it is. I'm interested because my premise, my thesis this year is really great corners are going to be even more important. We saw it a little bit with Sauce Gardner and the Jets. You saw what a big difference like that first season guy who got paired with a really nice free agent, DJ Reed, did a really nice job too. And that changed like the quality of their team. Now I love Trent McDuffie. Let me be clear. I'm a big McDuffie fan. I think that give him a little bit more help and you'll see that. And I know he was hurt for, you know, a number of games this season too. So it's just, I want a full, but let me see what these corners have got, because that is, now we've seen, like, we have a couple of seasons where wide receivers were just like absolutely so plentiful. And there were so many really good ones that were added. Now you need to see the counterpoint, right? Point, counterpoint, point, counterpoint. So I'm interested to see how the corner class shakes out in general, because I think it's a huge advantage.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting storyline for Chiefs. And we've been talking about this for like the last, you know, week since, you know, things kind of calmed down after the Super Bowl, of roster composition and that Brad Veach and his staff did such a good job hitting on the draft picks last year. There wasn't just Trent McDuffie, but Jalen Watson and Josh Williams.
100%.
The Chiefs had, I think, the fourth most snaps played by drafted rookies.
Well, nine of them were on a like, Super Bowl. That's, you know, pretty impressive. Good job, Brett.
Not bad, but it's an interesting story because L'Jarius Sneed is up for a contract and has earned it. He's been very, very good. But if you have three rookies that have been playing, knowing that if you pay them in the open market, you're going to pay a pretty penny. Do you look at that when you're building that cornerback room? Do you want more? Do you want a veteran in that room, or these three rookies just showed that they can go out and play? Do you need to bring in a veteran, or you just draft more young guys?
I guess the question is, what's the actual price? You know, we talk about it in theoreticals, but I think that like that's what Brett is masterful at, right? They get these contracts where like Patrick has one of the best contracts that you could imagine, both for both parties, because they're both incentivized to do the same thing, which is win. And you're like, I think your bigger question is like, so Frank Clark, I mean, cause Chris Jones, you got to pay him, you know, like, so it's like, I don't know. So Snead's an interesting one. I don't think Snead will be a chief, but not because he doesn't deserve to be one, but because I think the price tag he played his way into, I think he's going to get that crazy top level money. And I know this is going to sound weird, but there's no longer using, like, remember you used to call people like a slot corner. It was like a shade.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a slot corner. He plays in the slot. Like, he's old. He's washed up. Now you need that slot corner to be nasty. You need a nasty slot, and you need that. You need the ability for the nickel to be spoken for and accounted for. So I guess it's just going to be my question will be, what's the price tag for that?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think he'll be one of the highest priced. But I just don't think they're going to be able to afford him, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's one of the things Brett Veach and his staff are going to figure out this week. And he talked about it when he did his media that so much of this week, we come here to talk about the prospects and the prospects come and do all that, but so much gets done about trades and
100%,
agents.
100%.
So much more at the combine is actually about just everybody coming here. Things get streamlined. You can have those conversations get done. But Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, we appreciate you for stopping
by. Thank
you
for having me.
Catch her and everybody at NFL Network with their live coverage of the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine, March 2nd through 5th, again on NFL Network. Coming up, we will have Mr. Charles Davis right after this.
Shut up. He's my favorite.
I love him. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Welcome back to Radio Row here in Indianapolis at the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine. Great stuff there from Cynthia Freeland, and going to have a lot more great stuff here with NFL Network's Charles Davis. He'll be part of the crew and all the coverage. You can watch that live on NFL Network starting tomorrow, Thursday, March 2nd through the 5th. Always good stuff and always great to chat with you, Mr. Charles Davis.
It's great to talk with you. It's been way too long. Congratulations on the network. I'm so happy for you. And
Thank you.
I think it's pretty awesome. And I just met your guy, Tucker, and he said it's pretty awesome when he gets paid. Other than that, he's not so sure how awesome it is. But, you know, we won't say that on – oh, we're on air? Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
We're rolling now.
My bad. I thought that was –
okay.
It's a private conversation. It's now public. All
now,
right.
We'll have this – Tucker gets paid. Everybody's getting paid on the network. We'll have that conversation. But, yeah, we Tucker and I talk a lot about starting a network and doing things. You don't know how long things take or how much work things are until you do it.
Certainly looks like it's doing well. So, congratulations, guys.
It's working. Thank you. I'm excited to get back to some of these events throughout the year. We were out at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Had a chance to sit down with, I think, 38 guys with 15, 20-minute one-on-ones out there. Got to meet a lot of those players.
I noticed you selected Las Vegas over Mobile in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I miss the Senior Bowl for a lot of reasons. We can get a lot more for what we do at the Shrine Bowl. But you come hang out at the Shrine Bowl. You come to Vegas. Come hang out sometime.
Listen,
they don't overlap the entire time.
They overlap enough that it screwed up everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when they moved to where they're playing on a Thursday, the same week that you got Senior Bowl practices, whatever happened to each one has its own week so that we can all get to all the places we want to go. That's all I'm saying.
You've got some pull. I think that you can make this happen.
Yeah, you notice that they're overlapping. So that shows you how much pull I have.
All right, let's talk about your six favorites. I got six questions for you.
Okay.
Six favorites from the year. We'll start with kind of just big picture NFL season. What was your favorite story, your favorite storyline throughout the NFL season in 2022 that you followed all the way through?
For me, and this is going to be a little bit of a homer thing, but it's one that I started with at the beginning of the year. I picked Patrick Mahomes as the preseason MVP in whatever thing I had to do, right? Mm-hmm. For his company I was working for. To me, my favorite storyline was Andy Reid turning a lot of the responsibility over to Patrick Mahomes in the offseason and trusting him to carry it through, which he did, and to make people better along the way, to go to different spots, to blah, 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 culminating in a Super Bowl. Okay. Truthfully, the biggest thing, of course, is DeMar Hamlin being okay. But let's just put that as its own separate category and an overarching yes. That's
right.
That beats everything else that happened in the NFL. But for me, watching Mahomes take on that responsibility, make the next step, advance his career, show the world that he's not just the kid out there freewheeling and having a good time, but he has responsibility for this ball club and for being who he is. Yeah. That's what the greats do. Him being great wasn't really the issue.
Yeah.
This cemented it.
How special is it for you? I mean, Grant, you're talking to, you know, Chiefs fans that we've been it's been special to watch him in a lot of ways. I've joked that it's ruined football in a lot of ways to watch how many difficult things he makes look very easy.
Yeah.
And the playmaking ability, and you watch other quarterbacks and they're running to the left and you see a guy open way across the outside the hash. I'm like, why can't he just turn and throw it that way?
Patrick does.
Yeah. But for you, and just how well you know the game, what impresses you when you watch him? Is it just the crazy stuff that we see, the no-look passes, mm-hmm. or is it just the command of the offense? There's so many different things with it. What stands out to you when you watch him? What do you appreciate?
To me, it's because he does so many of those things so well that we will show on highlights ad nauseum. We forget the throw where he goes to his back foot on a five-step drop and zings it and hits the target on the move. Mm-hmm. We forget the part about, hey, in the huddle, hey, maybe, I'm pretty sure he's telling him, hey, you've run that 12 yard such and such. This time turn outside instead of inside, mm-hmm. you know, because I saw something, blah, blah, blah. You know, the connection and the trust that he has in Kelsey. I remember watching, I think it was the Cincinnati game. They high-load him on a bracket coverage very early. Remember early in the ball game? And he throws it to a spot knowing that Travis could go get it, but the other guys could not. Just watching all that just continue to develop. And then watching the swirl around him where everyone has the confidence that he's going to get it done all the time. Well, you don't get it done all the time, but it certainly feels like he gets it done all the time. And to me, that's like a Jordan. That's like, I don't mind taking the last shot because I'm pretty confident I'm going to make it. It's like Kobe used to do. And if I don't, I'm still going to take the last shot next time because I'm the best option for it.
Yeah.
It's just that much fun to watch and watch him handle everything that's on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Some things people bring to him that he doesn't need to be dealing with, but guess what? They bring it to him. We in the media will question this, and this. Are you going to deal with that? And he's like, what am I dealing with? But guess what? Same equilibrium, same deal. We only had Kansas City. My broadcast team only had them once this year. Mm. Because, you know, they're like rock stars. They're going to be on every primetime 425 game going. But when we had them, same young man that I met years ago.
It's probably the most special part. And granted, I've been around for a couple of years, but the thing that I always take away is that, you know, you've got guy with the greatest start to any quarterback's career in NFL history.
Yeah.
And knowing him away from the field and away from the microphone, he's just a genuinely like good, normal human being.
It's unbelievable.
Good dude, cares about the people around him, cares about his teammates, cares about his family.
And they care about him.
And it's not, there's no disingenuine. That's just a normal, exactly who you want to be.
Yeah. It's pretty special. And I just think that was part of Andy Reid's genius too, was to add that to his plate and let him know, this is how I feel about you, young man.
Yeah.
I'm putting all my trust in you, and there's no way Patrick was planning on letting him down.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Favorite moment of the year in 2022. And you already mentioned DeMar Hamlin, so.
Yeah.
I think that one's for anybody that watches football and has a heart.
There were so many. The Jordan Jefferson catch in Buffalo was just, I still can't believe he caught that.
Yeah.
Like, how the heck did he catch that? Because, look, the kickoff return to start the Miami game, the New England game, that was the DeMar, that would be part of the DeMar Hamlin deal. The touchdown Mahomes to Kelsey against the Chargers, which turned out to be the same play we ran for.
Yeah.
Special again. But that catch by Jefferson, and that was one where Kirk Cousins, who very much has to be in control and everything has to be. And what's the reason he threw caution to the winds and just put it up there and trusted that number 18 would make a play.
Yeah.
And he made a play that was beyond anything even Kirk Cousins expected, or the Vikings or the Bills. Remember, they won that game in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. That's probably my favorite moment of the year.
Yeah. There were times watching Justin Jefferson where very rarely does it seem you have really good players, you have next level players, but you know where the ball is going. They still can't stop it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's similar to Kelsey and Mahomes and what we see. Not that I spent a lot of time watching the rest of the NFL like yourself. Favorite moment or part of the Super Bowl from this year?
Favorite moment or part of the Super Bowl from this year?
Could have been Rihanna just energizing the Chiefs for the second half. Came out in all red, just absolutely. Everything changed.
Yeah, it wasn't that. I can tell you. That was good. Don't get me wrong, but that it wasn't that. For me, it was much more how Kansas City kept their poise and was so surgical in the second half. And everything elevated. Mm-hmm. Defense elevated. Offense played where Mahomes only had one incompletion. I'm pretty sure he got a little help at halftime, because you remember the big story was he didn't take any help for the AFC Championship game. Well, the way he ran the second half, I'm pretty sure he got a little help at the half.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's what pros do. And then he went out and played. It was just the way that team looked so veteran and so confident in who they were.
Yeah.
And just kind of refused to lose that one.
We talked about going into that game, the championship pedigree, and not that the Eagles didn't have players that had played in big games or that had been on Super Bowl teams.
I thought Philadelphia was a better football team going into Super Bowl. I mean, I made no bones about it. I thought they were a better football team in so many different ways. But 15 is a great equalizer. And then the defense made some plays when they had to make some plays. And I know everybody's screaming and yelling about, should have been interference. Did he grab my... It's a clear grab. When Bradbury goes, I grabbed him, I just didn't think they'd call it. I don't know why we're debating it anymore.
They say the situation.
You're
not going to get any Chiefs fans. They're not going to get empathy from Chiefs fans. Forward progress call from here. Like, there's so many things that go along.
And, you know, the field was the field. I wish it would have been a better turf, but guess what? Both had to play on it. Yeah. We can go on and on. I thought it was a heck of a ball game overall.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts, if people didn't get the message that he's really good, on the biggest stage, come on, folks. He was sensational.
Could have been more impressed. And didn't watch a ton of Jalen Hurts besides, you know, the 2 weeks going into that game. Didn't know a lot about him. Didn't follow all his pressers. But I don't think he or anyone on that team could have handled anything better than the way that they
special,
did.
Special.
After it. All right, let's talk quickly about some of the players in this draft, some of the stuff that we're doing here at the Combine. Favorite player in this draft?
Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback. So many question marks. People want to ding him for his size. I think he's the best playmaker in the draft, playmaker extraordinaire. He is my favorite player. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Probably because this is not a year where the quarterback is that lock guy. It's not Trevor Lawrence year. Mm. But I think he is the one, and I'm going to ride with him.
Okay.
No matter what. Although we'll all be holding our breath tomorrow when we hear height and weight.
Yeah. They've already been analyzing pictures of him walking down the hallway out on social media. I thought you were going to say a Tennessee guy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, listen, every now and then I try and, you know, not show my orange, but it's dripping out of me.
Actually, new show to the KC Sports Network, Dustin Colquitt. I'm going to host a new show. Another guy.
Good. You know, a little red and orange, it can work together.
Yeah. All right. Favorite sleeper in this draft?
I'm going to go I'm going to go homer call here. Julius Brents, corner, Kansas State. Fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl.
Hear that, Tucker?
Long, long corner. Played a lot of boundary corner there for Coach Kleeman and crew. Came from Iowa. And let me tell you something. They train you on defense at Iowa with Phil Parker. Mm-hmm. So he just carried that over to Kansas State. I think he can be a playmaking long type corner in the NFL. he looks like a Seattle Seahawks corner,
mm-hmm.
but I think his movement skills are good enough that he doesn't have to just play cover three.
As a K-State alum,
or cover one.
I'm hoping you didn't do that on purpose, just because you're on KC Sports Network.
No,
talking about a player
I did tell you it's a little bit of a homer call because I know the area I'm in.
Yeah,
but you can ask my guys who were with me in the Senior Bowl if I fell in love with Julius Brents or not, and they'll probably roll their eyes and go, "Yeah, we heard that a time or a thousand."
Those all-star games, those big long corners can stand out, and having watched Julius Brents, and he'll come up and hit.
Yeah,
and so that
he's got movement skills. He will come up and tackle. I just think he's the type of guy, and you know, I'm not going to say he's Tariq Woolen because Woolen's speed was so incredible last year, but the build is similar.
Yeah. All right, last question, most important one. Favorite part of the combine?
You mean other than when we go to the airport?
And other than sitting here and talking with me every year, at least for 6 years, and then take a couple years off. No, it could be the shrimp cocktail, the steaks, all that stuff.
What's your favorite part is whenever that young person emerges that maybe we either knew or maybe we didn't even know the story, and they have a big combine and the emotions flow.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf, who had a broken neck.
Mm-hmm.
Calling his mother after he blew away the combine. You know, those types of things when they just emerge out of nowhere and you're just like, oh, that's a pretty cool moment. That kid just did something. Look, we missed Isaiah Pacheco, just how good a combine he had last year. When you go back and look, you go, holy, are you kidding me? When he ran 4.36 and he benched, you know, the world and he did this and he did that and somehow still went in the seventh round.
Yeah.
So that just tells you is for all of us who think we're evaluators, who think we're picking, who think we're doing, sometimes, you know, we just fall into it. And to get him in the seventh round, are you kidding me? The way he runs, I know, you know, he runs angry and all that stuff, that kind of term. He runs with as much passion as anyone I've seen playing a long time.
He's an energy giver.
He really is.
As Coach Reed says it all the time.
He absolutely is. And he, for him, every play is a joy. An absolute joy. So it's fun to watch. And we saw him here and we, he had a nice combine, but did we really blow him up? The answer was no, really didn't.
That was the beauty that last year we sat down with him at the East-West Shrine Bowl. So they drafted him in the seventh round and we're doing a live show at KC Sports. We throw to the interviews like we have the chief seventh round pick sitting down. And we asked him his favorite play from college, gave us a pass pro rep. So let's go watch a blitz pickup that he had in a big moment.
He probably stoned some guy and it just dropped him like a bag of dirt, as they said on Seinfeld. So yeah,
that was memorable.
He was pretty special. And you know, that's what you get at this combine. A lot of stars. Sometimes they cemented a good number of stars come and don't do all the things, but sometimes you see these kids emerge. I remember when Logan Wilson from Wyoming emerged at this thing and ended up being a third round pick. And now look at him, he pushes for Pro Bowl. You know, it's just fun to see. And just to see them do their things. And then when they set a bar for schools like Wyoming, the next guys that come through were like, hey, you remember when that guy from Wyoming did it? Well, here's another kid from Wyoming. And we had the linebacker last year, went to the Jaguars in the second or the third round.
Yeah.
So we end up having that. Chad Muma.
Yep.
Yeah. So we end up having that happens along the way. It's kind of cool.
Love it. Love all of it.
Not to mention every school possible could be here. When you think about it, it's not just North Dakota State anymore. Dakota State won the whole thing, and their tight end Tucker Kraft is here.
There you go. Make sure you're checking out NFL Network with Charles Davis and all of his coverage. And we appreciate you, Charles, for hanging out with us.
Always great to see you. Congratulations again on the network.
Thank you.
May it grow to the point where Tucker's asking for a raise by next week. All right.
He does that anyway. Appreciate all you for listening. We'll get you next time.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.